The curry was delicious. Welcome to Season 11, Episode 1 of the Ubuntu Podcast. This show was recorded on March the 8th, 2018, and today we're going to discuss what we've been up to since Christmas 2017 and the changes we're making in the podcast this season. I'm Alan, and joining me this week is Mark and Martin. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Hello. And Martin.
Hello.
So good to be in the same place, actually.
This is an unusual recording setup.
Yes.
Because you and I, Alan and I, are sat opposite each other. And already it's weird looking at your face whilst we're recording the podcast.
Thank you.
And we have
awkward
the most
eye contact.
The most unusual configuration with mobile phones and remote audio recorders. So yeah. a fine way to come back for a new season.
It's weird looking at you and hearing Mark's voice in my ear every so often. Yes. So, Mark, what have you been up to recently?
What have I been up to? Well, I have been building myself a doorbell.
Wow.
Yes. So
you can just go to B&Q and buy one.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be very exciting, would it?
No.
So I recently purchased a house from the house shop, the doorbell it came with was a bit rubbish in that it didn't go ding dong. It kind of went clunk clunk.
Didn't you consider sending the house back to the house shop?
Was one of those big brass pull things that you pull down?
No, this is one of the ones which is like an electromagnet between two chimes, and it's supposed to bounce off one and onto the other, and it doesn't. Oh. So now it's a nice button with a shiny blue LED around it, and a Raspberry Pi and a webcam and push notifications to my phone and playing sounds on my Joggler and all sorts of cool stuff like that.
Does it have lasers?
No lasers yet.
Is the blue LED always on so people know where to put their finger when they want to ring the bell?
It's on, and then you press it and it goes off, and then you release it and it comes back on again. And it also flashes. Once it's booted up, it flashes so that you know it's ready.
Sorry, once my doorbell has booted up. It's not a phrase I hear very often. Yeah, well done. And so was this like what prompted you to decide to make a complicated thing like this?
Well, I think because I've been, playing with electronics at the computing club I've been volunteering at, and I thought, oh, I need a button, and I push it and it makes a noise around my house. I know how to do that. So I thought I'd give it a go.
It's good enough reason, really.
Well, yeah, because I've never actually used a Raspberry Pi for anything before. So I got a Raspberry Pi 0W because I wanted it on the Wi-Fi. And then that just sits by my front door. And
is it like plugged into a charger, or has you got cables?
Yeah, it's just plugged into USB. I've got a socket not far from my front door. So I had to buy a long USB cable and stuck it to my wall. And it works.
That's pretty cool. What about you, Martin? What have you been up to recently?
Well, the spare time that I've had has been mostly invested in working on Mate Desktop 120, which was released about a month ago, and then integrating all of that into what will become Ubuntu Mate 18.04 at the end of April, when the 18.04 LTS releases.
Are there any like super fantastic new features in Mate 120?
There are. The biggest ones are the fact that it now supports high DPI.
Ooh.
So as we record this, I have my XPS 15, which is a high DPI capable laptop.
Yes.
And I've fallen back in love with it because it looks gorgeous in high DPI.
So you're not either squinting anymore or having giant buttons poke your eyes out.
No, it's all working properly. Yeah, it looks. I mean, in terms of the sort of resolution that your real estate that you have, it's like a 1080p screen, but all of the pixels are doubled up, so everything's very crisp.
Prettier and, pixels.
Yeah, it looks really nice. So I've fallen back in love with this laptop as a result of that.
Am I the only one who doesn't have a high... Have you got a high DPI screen, Mark?
No, I, in fact, I have a new laptop. I bought a new laptop while we were away.
Get you. What is it?
It is the new Entroware Apollo.
Oh, lovely.
Yes. So it has a 13-inch 1080p screen. So I don't think... It's not like high DPI, like... pixel doubling, I don't think.
Which one's the Apollo? Is that the one that
that's the ultrabooky one?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
They did a sort of a new revision of it at the end of the year with generation 8 Intel processor.
What are you running on it? Are you running stock Ubuntu or something
Stock Ubuntu 16.04 at the moment.
I'll tell you what, you should try Ubuntu Mate. I was in Seattle with Wimpy a little while ago, and I was a bad man. I had an Apple Mac with me. It was a Mac that I repaired. It used to belong to my mother-in-law, and she, well, actually, not her fault. My son spilled orange juice all over the keyboard and ruined it. And they got another one on insurance, and I got to keep the broken one. And eventually I cleaned it and fixed it. And part of the reason, the motivation for fixing it, was because we were releasing some software for the Mac, Snapcraft, and I wanted to test it. I wanted to be able to say, yes, I have tried it. And, yeah. So I took the Mac with me to New York, and I kind of lusted over the user interface a bit. Like, having come from using, you know, Ubuntu for a long time and now using OS X on this thing, like the gestures. And Martin was looking over my shoulder and was like, oh yeah, what's so good about that then? What do you like about that then? And I went, well, you could do this. And I was swiping my fingers in various directions. He was like, oh, right. What else? And I was swiping in another direction and showing him all the different gestures that OS X has built in. And he went, right. Like, a couple of days later, he went, hey, come and have a look at this. Showed me the latest Ubuntu Mate, and he's implemented all these the gestures in one of the, what are they called, layouts?
Well, it's not actually in it. It's not in the release at the moment.
Right.
It's in my local development branch, right. And it's not specific to a layout. They work in all of the layouts. Oh. But obviously in the Cupertino
Cupertino.
It's most like the Mac, and yeah, that looks quite good. So I did the three-finger swipe left and right to switch virtual workspaces, and the three-finger swipes up and down to do the expose of the windows on the screen.
And once you do that, once you start doing those gestures, they kind of become...
They stick.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I find myself sitting back, like leaning back almost, and my hand just resting on the touchpad.
Yeah,
and just swiping
between
applications. Yeah. And, you know, scrolling up and down with two fingers and then swiping to the next thing. Oh, it's the future.
Are you a touchpad convert then? Are you going to abandon your nipples?
Right. Well, no, because the only reason I used the touchpad on the Mac is because it doesn't have a nipple, right?
Yeah.
If it had one,
Then you wouldn't have discovered it. You can't gesture on a nipple.
This is true. Well, no, but you can scroll horizontally very easily with a nipple, which you can't do in many other things. So, like with a mouse, it's a bit difficult. So, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so whilst Alan was showing me, you know, how macOS works, and I've not really seen macOS in the flesh, so this was all new to me. You know, you see screenshots of it, but it's not until you see someone using it you have an appreciation for how the user interface works. So I made some subtle tweaks to the Cupertino layout to better represent a macOS experience. So one of the things that Alan pointed out is there is no, like, applications menu on macOS. You get this sort of launcher with an overlay of your most frequently used icons. Now, I can't quite mimic that at the moment, but what we have been able to do is we've introduced new features into the Brisk menu, which was contributed from the Solus project. And we now have this dash-style launcher as an option in Brisk menu. So we now use this dash launcher in the Mutiny layout to be a more faithful representation of Unity 7, but also in the Cupertino layout, because you get this icon overlay that you can search filter, and you can also, you know, touch screen enable it and scroll it and the rest.
So in the past, the Unity developers were, and the GNOME developers were chided for ripping off features of OS X, and then Elementary comes along and they get told you're just ripping off OS X. So you're now a member of that elite club.
Yeah, I am. I'm totally ripping off features from OS X. There's some stuff it does really nicely. You know, we've got the global menus properly implemented as well now. So, and I had been running the Pantheon layout as my default, but I have the full-on Mac mimic mode. And the other thing I've been doing, you showed me, on your Mac, you were full screening all of your applications and then just swiping between them with the finger gestures, and it was just full screen apps, so no Chrome, no indicators present, just the application. And I've been doing the same here. It's a very nice way to work.
It is a nice way.
Just have your
maximize all those pixels.
Yeah,
get the most
maximize
your inches.
All the screen
so
space.
We've been busy working. What have you been doing, Mark? Have you been busy working?
Funny you should say that. No, unfortunately, I've been on strike for the past couple of weeks.
Oh dear.
Does that involve standing around fires in burning dustbins?
Yes, that's exactly what it's like.
That's all I can think of is
listening to the communards.
British Leyland or miners. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what proper strikes are these days. Sorry.
No, this is a strike of university staff from I think about 60 institutions in the UK.
Wow.
Are on strike over enforced pension reforms, which we don't quite agree with.
Right.
To put it mildly. So yes, if you're a student and you're listening to this and you've missed out on your lectures as a result.
Oh, so it's teaching staff as well as support
teaching staff as well. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm not keeping up with the news because I'm, as we may have mentioned, Martin and I are in Hungary at the moment. So although we're not going hungry, that's for sure.
Haven't had goulash yet though.
No, we haven't. We'll make time for that. So, yeah. So also, actually, I wanted to mention, I've taken up a challenge, as well as just in case anyone thought I'd lost the faith and I've been using OS X, I'm actually running KDE Neon now, full-time on my ThinkPad. I took up a challenge that Chris Fisher from Jupiter Broadcasting set.
About a month ago.
Yeah, it was a month ago.
In fact, it was when we were in Seattle. We were in Seattle and we met up one evening with Chris and Noah and Wes from Jupiter Broadcasting, had pizza, had a chat.
That pizza was great.
It was really good pizza. Mm. Yeah, that was a good place to go. And then we sort of were discussing the state of various Linux desktops.
Yeah, so I installed KDE Neon. Actually, I didn't. I went to, oh my God, this is a longer story than I expected. I said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And I've got nothing important on my laptop, so why don't I just download the ISO image and do it? But I have to wait until I finish work for the week. So we thought, when I fly home, that would be a good time to do it. Why don't I do it on the plane? So we're sat at the airport in Seattle, and I'm trying to download the KDE Neon ISO image over the airport Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi, which didn't work very well at all. And we were getting called for our flight. So I instead downloaded the ISO image over roaming 3G on my mobile phone, which worked really fast. The mobile network in Seattle was pretty good.
Yeah.
Got the ISO really quickly. And then Martin used a USB-C cable to transfer the ISO off onto his laptop and then put it onto a USB key. And then I booted my laptop and we went through the install process on my laptop. It didn't quite work and I filed a bug and that's now been fixed. But when I got back, I nuked the laptop and I now run KDE Neon on my laptop, and I have been for that entire month. In fact, I had to reboot today for the first time since I did that install 29 days ago, which I think is pretty good going.
Yeah, it's very good going.
I think I upgraded because the LTS, KDE LTS version came out or something.
Like 2 days after you did the install or something.
So I rebooted at that point, and then I haven't done since. I like it. I'm really impressed with KDE Neon. It's been really robust, and
there was a moment yesterday where I could see Alan having just an internal hug. Someone explained to him how to change the way that the alt tab switcher was represented. It was, I think it was the icing on the cake moment for you.
It was when Sergio who works on Snapcraft was sat next to me, and he's running KDE Neon on Microsoft
Surface Book thing.
And I watched him alt tab between two applications and went, how do you do that? And this is where the whole, you know, KDE highly configurable thing came in. I just pressed a couple of buttons and now I have the alt tab switcher that you get in Unity. So
yeah,
happy days.
Magic.
Cool. Have you been playing any games, Mark?
Yes, I have been playing games.
Oh, really? What have you been playing?
I have been playing on my Super Nintendo Mini, and I have in fact just today completed a playthrough of Super Mario World.
Was that a Christmas present?
It was a Christmas present.
Someone very thoughtful in your life. So how was your playthrough today?
Pretty good, actually. I found all the secret exits and Yoshis and things like that.
Did you have to sit super close to the TV or the cable?
No,
like
I've got well, they're longer than they were on the NES Mini, but they're still not very long, so I've got extenders. I also did, which I haven't done with the NES Mini, installed some extra bits and bobs, which, among other things, lets you sort of exit out to the menu using a controller combination rather than having to get up and walk over to the TV and press a button on the actual thing.
Sorry, you can install software on this NES, well, Super NES thing.
There's a utility you can download, which basically it installs a custom kernel, which then lets you mount an extra partition, and that lets you add other games and emulators, which you legally own, of course.
Of course.
And it also lets you change some settings, like the key combinations for doing various sort of system things, which is quite cool. Yeah.
So is it straightforward to flash this thing with this new kernel?
Absolutely. It's you have to do it on Windows to do it using the nice GUI, which is a bit of a pain because it's got like two USB modes and you've got to put it in both USB modes and then install the driver while it's in the right USB mode. But once you've done that, it's very much you connect the USB cable and you select the options that you want to change and you say flash and it works. Yes, nice. It's very good.
Cool. I think I might have to put one of those on my my wish list.
I'm gonna make one. I'm gonna make another one.
I have. Yeah. In fact, I went round to a friend's house a couple of days ago, and he has an old a Japanese Super Famicom chassis.
Right.
Where he's put a Raspberry Pi inside it, and where the controller ports are, there's two USB ports, and it all lights up inside. And you can plug it in via HDMI. It's very nice.
So I made a Raspberry Pi based Super Nintendo with a 3D printed case last year, a year ago. And I'm using controllers from a company called 8BitDo, and they're sort of authentic SNES controllers. And one of the things I've learned just recently is you can now do firmware updates on your laptop, for example. So my Dell XPS 15 and 13, I've been able to do the firmware updates all from within Linux. And the other thing I discovered is when I put these 8BitDo controllers in, they're one of the devices that are supported by the firmware updater. Right. And I was able to push the firmware updates to these controllers.
Without installing any extra software?
No Windows required.
So what amazing new functionality did you get from your, 10 button controllers?
Nothing that I could discern, but I just like the fact that the last time I had to put firmware on these in order to make them work properly at all under Linux, I had to find a Windows machine in order to do it. But now I don't have to do that. You just plug them into a USB cable and push. I think
even if you get no new features, there's a lovely warm feeling you get inside that you're running the latest bits.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm sure that's what Arch uses.
The completionist
feel like.
In me is happy.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's do that.
So one of the things you may have noticed is we've made some changes to the podcast. That's not a permanent thing. We haven't permanently moved to Hungary. That's not the main change, but we have changed a few other things. So should we buzz through some of these so people can understand what we're doing? So obviously we've come back.
Yes.
How about things we haven't changed?
Well, we haven't changed the theme tune.
No. We like that theme tune. It's like Marmite. You either love it or you hate it, but we're keeping it.
So yes.
We're not changing that. One of the questions people asked us a lot was about funding.
Mm-hmm.
We asked people if they could give us some suggestions of how they would improve the show. And Mark, you saw some responses on our Telegram group and on Twitter about this.
Yes. So some people want the show to be longer and some people want it to be shorter. was the main feedback we got. We also got so we also had some questions about whether people could give us money, but we decided that we looked at it, and actually we cover all the costs for the show either ourselves or thanks to our lovely sponsor Bitfolk, who provide us with our hosting.
But we
decided that because people always seem to want to support us financially, we would let them support something that we believe in financially, if they want to do that. So we're going to have a donation page on the website where you can either donate to the Ubuntu Project or one of our chosen charities.
Yeah, and currently we've just got the Ubuntu Project links up there. We're each going to nominate a charity, and should you want to support financially, we are welcome to support one of our chosen charities, and that would be lovely. We don't need or want the money, and frankly we didn't want the the difficult
tax hassles.
All the hassles come with sorting out. But we did think about that one long and hard, and we did think about changes we could have made if we started taking crowdfunding and donations and what have you. But we've decided to stay 100% free and just carry on as normal.
So one of the other questions we had was about video, and will we become a video show? And I think we've all agreed we've got faces for radio.
We do have faces for radio,
So we're going to not do video in terms of us staring into a camera and you seeing us with headphones on and microphones in front of our faces like some podcasts do, because we just don't think there's additional value in us doing that. Plus, there's additional overhead for us to do editing and publishing and loads of faff and extra bandwidth, and just it's not worth it. But what we will do is make sure that we publish every episode to YouTube. We already have a YouTube channel, and we do actually have a full archive of all our episodes on there, most of them anyway.
Which is a hell of a lot easier to navigate than our actual podcast archive.
They're all organised into playlists on YouTube.
Who knew that one of the largest companies on the planet could do a website for navigating content better than we could? but what we will do is every tweet, every social post and that will probably link to the video. So if you see, if you want to watch it on YouTube, we'll have it in the background in your browser, then you could use that as a way of consuming the podcast. You don't have to download it in a podcast client.
And part of our motivation for doing that is to try and increase the discovery of the podcast on that platform where there are billions of people looking. So if you do watch the YouTube channel, then we do...
Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Yes, that's it. You know, touch the bell, hit subscribe.
Mash that subscribe.
Rate, yeah, all of those things. So that's a change. But of course, the website will be there just as always with the audio embedded. Mm. And that brings us on to the RSS feeds. So we've made a little change to the RSS feeds. Traditionally, we've published MP3 and OGG audio. But what we're doing this year is forwarding the MP3 feed has been redirected over the OGG feed. So if you're listening to this now and you have been subscribed to the OGG feed, we're terribly sorry, but you're listening to an MP3.
we deliberated about that. We weren't sure whether that was a good thing to do. You know, the freedom lovers out there who like to use their freedom-loving OGG format, and we're usurping that by delivering an MP3 to their device.
Yeah.
We're sorry about that.
The patents on MP3s have expired now, so they're as free as OGGs.
Right. Yeah. And also, MP3s work everywhere.
That's the main thing. The reason that we said we'll go with MP3s rather than we'll go with OGGs if we only want to do one format is because MP3s work everywhere and OGGs don't. And now the previous freedom issues with MP3s have gone.
Significantly diminished. But feel free to send us your feedback, but don't tell us to use Speaks, all right? Because we're not going to.
And another piece of show feedback that we had, if you're wondering where was this conversation happening, if you're in our Telegram group, then you were there, you saw this these conversations take place. That's where we interact with the listeners and find out what they're enjoying. One of the other things that cropped up a couple of times was transcribing the podcasts, which is a load of work, but we're also going to use YouTube to facilitate that. So we've turned on the transcription capabilities on the YouTube channel. So if you're interested in transcribing the podcast, then use the YouTube episodes to do that, please. Mm-hmm. That
and could great. Even translate them if you want to.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so yeah.
If people are willing and interested to do that, that's great. Now, there's some stuff in the post to you, aren't there? You and Mark. What have you got coming, Mark?
I don't know. What have I got coming, Alan?
Nothing at the moment. But I think we were going to get a KDE-based laptop sent to you. And we're getting something, a new Dell laptop sent to Martin.
Yeah, so I think it's arrived at home, and I'm obviously in the wrong country right now.
Kids are using it right now.
Yeah, probably drawing on it with crayons. So it's the new Dell XPS 13 developer edition, which is pre-installed with Ubuntu. So I shall be reviewing that soon.
So if people have got anything they want to know, we've already got like a library of things we do with the
laptop. Yeah, we have some general things that we cover when we do a laptop review. But if there's anything you want to know specifically about that device, then let us know.
Sweet. Is that everything I think we've changed? There are other subtle changes.
Yeah, well, one big change, of course, is that we're not going to be freedom haters anymore. We're going to remove Dropbox from our production process, the way we share the audio between each other's when, mm-hmm. when we're doing the editing. We're going to set up a Nextcloud instance to facilitate that.
Yeah. Yeah, that felt like a good idea, you know, embrace this this new software that's the new file sharing hotness.
Yeah.
And see how that goes. We've used Dropbox for years, but mm-hmm. this felt like a good idea and a good time to do it. Now it's matured enough that we feel it's good enough.
And then the last changes on the format really came from the discussion that happened in the Telegram group. And as Mark said, some people wanted the podcast to be longer, some people wanted it to be shorter. And if you aggregate all that together, it was a 50-50 split. So we're not going to change the length of the shows at all.
So we're going to facilitate neither of those opinions.
Yeah, but what we are going to do is we're going to listen to what people said to us about. They wanted to hear us talk more deeply about the topics that we were choosing. So we're going to have fewer news items, and we're going to cover those news stories in a little bit more detail, and the segments that we choose to cover, we're going to go into those in a little bit more detail. So hopefully we'll be catering to what the audience is after.
Okay, awesome. So let's move on. What have we got next? We've got some community news and events.
We do. It's an exciting day today because we're on the cusp of 1804 Beta 1 for the Ubuntu flavors. So as you listen to this podcast, you will be able to download 1804 Beta 1 for Kubuntu, Lubuntu, Zubuntu, Ubuntu Budgie, and Ubuntu Mate.
Awesome.
What about regular Ubuntu?
They don't participate in Beta 1. Their beta will be a few weeks from now, final Beta 2. There was some late-night discussion in a bar in Budapest as to whether or not Ubuntu were going to break with tradition and out with a Beta 1, but they decided that wasn't going to happen.
Cool. So if you're interested in testing it out, then go and grab the ISO and follow the ISO tracker and test stuff out, report bugs, give feedback, all the usual good stuff.
Absolutely.
Cool. Excellent. What's next, Mark?
Ubuntu desktop team have added a minimal install option. So this is not the same as the minimal installer where you download a separate ISO. This is the regular desktop ISO, but it installs less apps.
Fewer apps.
Fewer apps, yeah.
No, I mean
sorry. Oh, okay. Okay, brilliant. And in addition to that, there's a bit of post on the Ubuntu Devel mailing list kicked off by Will Cook. And this was about getting more diagnostics data on Ubuntu desktop. And that's a huge topic. There's loads to cover in there. So what we're going to do is get Will Cook on next week's show and cover that in tons more detail and get all the detail from the horse's mouth. And we'll fire some questions at him about that kind of stuff. So look forward to next week when we'll have Will on and cover that subject in plenty of detail. If you have any events, we don't have any this week, but if you're organising an event or if you're looking forward to attending a particular event that you want us to share with our listeners, then send the details to show@ubuntupodcast.org.
I have an event.
Oh, do you?
Yes. OggCamp is happening.
Ooh. When's that happening, Mark?
I can't remember the exact dates, but it's the weekend before August bank holiday weekend. So excellent. We'll have more details coming up in the future, but it is already well underway. It's going to be at Sheffield Hallam University.
So head to ogcamp.org to find the accurate information rather than our vague
information. It's on there.
Even more awkward. Sorry, John.
Let me find out. Yes, it is on there. It's the Saturday the 18th and Sunday the 19th of August, and you can already get your tickets from oddcamp.org.
I already have my ticket.
Excellent. Okay, that's all from the community news and events. Okay, that's all for episode 1 of season 11. We made it.
That was a bit challenging, wasn't it?
It was a bit.
What with all these pillows and a mobile phone to Mark?
You would not believe the faff we go through to record this.
At least we're in pleasant surroundings. This
yes.
is nice.
Yes, we yeah. have coffee and
how was it
right,
for you, Mark?
All right, you with your jet setting.
I wouldn't call flying to a Budapest jet setting so much. I always think jet setting is people on Concorde in really smart suits flying to New York for high-powered meetings, not us in our...
Yeah.
Didn't you fly to New York for a high-powered meeting like 3 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was Seattle, and it was New York a few weeks before that.
But I didn't wear a suit, so...
oh, okay.
Yeah, so that makes it not high-powered, yeah. Thanks everyone for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, comment, subscribe, mash that like button. And as always, thanks to Bitfolk for their no-nonsense VPS hosting. We'll be back next week when we'll be discussing those changes to the Ubuntu installer with Will Cook, manager of the Ubuntu desktop team. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Bye. We're not doing that anymore, are we?
No, we're not.